Mysterious-ish.
Contains graphic and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay.
Okay.
It's Wednesday.
Hook day.
It's not Friday yet, and I'm kind of sad about it.
Oh, big same.
Your girl's tired.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, working 5 days a fucking week thing, it's not working for me. I don't like it.
No.
It's not doing it for me. I think I would prefer a shorter week.
Same. Three. Or a day.
How are you, Erica?
Same. I'm very tired.
Yeah, I think, well, the good news is that today, April 24th, is the last day of Mercury being in the microwave.
Wow.
So Mercury goes back to normal tomorrow, so.
And then it can stop for the rest of the year, right?
No, I doubt it.
It's been doing it a lot.
Let's do some Googling here. Yeah, because we literally entered this year in retrograde. Oh shit. August 5th to August 27th. Oh, and then just in time for Thanksgiving, November 25th through December 15th.
Oh.
But also I heard on TikTok the other day that apparently there's only like 7 days this whole year that there's not something astrological happening, like some planets in retrograde or like something is going on in the stratosphere, and therefore all of us are being affected energetically. And I think it fits. This year, first of all, has gone so fucking fast.
Yeah.
I scheduled an eye appointment, like an eye doctor's appointment the other day, and we literally scheduled it in July. And I was like, oh, that's like a really fucking long time from now. And yeah, it is, but it's only 3 months.
Yeah.
What?
What?
What is happening? This time, it's a social construct. I don't, it's all made up. It's not real at all, period. So, anyways. Hi, listeners. How are you today and during this Mercury retrograde? Because Erica and I are doing fucking fabulous.
Mm.
So, Erica.
Yeah.
I have a story for you today.
What you gonna tell me?
So, when I was thinking about cults that I wanted to cover.
Yeah.
There was one that I had heard from, you know, other podcasts that really stuck with me.
Mm.
And I think you'll see why it stuck with me. But this cult doesn't have a name.
Oh.
So I will title this episode after the alleged leader of the cult. And today we are going to discuss the High Priestess of Blood.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And you'll see why, because if you get the ick from, like, bodily things, don't listen to this episode, because the whole fucking episode is bodily things.
Well, let me just go grab my earplugs real quick.
Not you. You can't. You're stuck. Sorry, babe. Would this be a Caitlin episode if it were lighthearted and happy?
Well, you know, meh.
I really like to stick to my brand, you know?
Hello.
Anyways. So, this High Priestess of Blood, her name is Magdalena Solis. And today we're going to go to the early 1960s to a small impoverished village called Yerba Buena.
Ooh,
in
Yerba Buena.
San Luis Potosi, Mexico. I'm so sorry for any native Spanish speakers. This is going to be a rough episode. I did, I promise, look up pronunciations for all of the words that I didn't know how to pronounce. It didn't particularly help, but here we go. So our story actually begins not with Magdalena Solis, but with two brothers named Santos and Cayetano Hernandez. Cayetano. We're going to call him K. The Hernandez brothers. They kind of sucked.
Right.
So they were not great people by, like, any stretch of the word. They were petty criminals who ran scams all over the damn place to make easy money. And so the Hernandezes, they went to Yerba Buena, this tiny little village. I already mentioned that this was, like, an impoverished village. But when I say tiny, I mean tiny. There were only, like, 50 people.
Oh.
And, yes, it's very small. Smaller than our graduating class. Which I didn't think was possible because there were, what, like, 74 of us?
Was there?
There was not very many of us. When I went to college, I had people coming from these extra large schools who were like, yeah, my class was like 800 people. And I was like, that's my whole school, bud. No, that's shit. The whole fucking school. They were like, yeah, my graduation ceremony took 5 hours. And I was like, fuck that.
No.
Or they split it into 2 days. No. No. Anyways, so 50 people in this tiny village. So these 50 people in this village were mostly illiterate, given the time and the area and their, you know, circumstances. They weren't very wealthy. So the Hernandez brothers took advantage of, you know, them being impoverished and illiterate. The Hernandez brothers told the people of Yerba Buena that they were prophets of the, quote, powerful and exiled Inca gods.
Oh.
I need you to remember Inca. Okay.
Okay, I'll remember.
They told them they were of the, I'm not sure if it's correct to say Incan, but they said that they were Inca gods. Okay?
Okay.
So here's the thing though about that. The first thing about that. The Incas lived in Peru, not Mexico. Mm. So they're dumb. But nonetheless, the Hernandezes were able to convince the people of Yerba Buena that, quote, the Inca gods, in exchange for worship and tributes, would grant them hidden treasures in the caves of the mountains surrounding the town, and that they would soon come to claim authority over their ancient kingdom and punish the non-believers.
Punish the non-believers.
Yeah.
No.
So. As we can probably guess, given the content of this season, this went south very quickly. The, quote, worshiping turned culty almost immediately. Adult members of this, quote, cult were forced to give monetary and sexual tributes, quote unquote tributes. They were forced to take drugs, participate in orgies.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And trigger warning. Sell their, quote, subordinates into sex slavery.
No.
No. Yeah. It gets worse. It just gets worse. I'm so fucking sorry. So some time passed, and eventually the members became skeptical of the brothers and their seemingly empty promises. Duh. So in an attempt to cover their asses, the Hernandez brothers went into a town called Monterrey. I can pronounce that one. And here in Monterrey, they found a sex worker and her brother. They were Magdalena and Eleazar Solis. So they explained, the Hernandezes explained their little scheme to the Solises, probably made empty promises to them as well. And the Solises agreed to help them. Not a ton is known about Magdalena or Eleazar, except that they came from a very dysfunctional family, and Magdalena was born somewhere around 1947, but who knows the actual day or year. So she was born at some point. We also know that at the time of meeting the Hernandez brothers, Magdalena was working as a sex worker under her brother, who was her pimp. I don't really know what the politically correct term for a pimp is.
I beg because your highness pardon.
They're all kind of yucky words. I don't like them, and I don't really know her. You know what, let's be very blunt about this. He was not her pimp. He was her trafficker.
Yeah.
That's what that is. So anyways, the Hernandez brothers would eventually present Magdalena to their cult members as the reincarnation of the goddess Coatlicue. I hope I didn't fuck that up. Coatlicue. Nope. Coatlicue. I have the syllable L-E-E in all caps so that I know that that's where what gets the emphasis. Coatlicue. Sure. Whatever. Okay. So the Hernandezes didn't just come back from Monterey one day with like two new people in tow and say, hey, look, the goddess Coatlicue. Shit. No. No. They did a fucking ritual with some cool pyrotechnics, some 1960s pyrotechnics, and used a literal smoke screen to make Magdalena appear suddenly.
Oh.
Because drama.
What an entrance.
Oh, yeah. For those who are interested in the gods and goddesses of other cultures, because I very much am, Coatlicue is the Aztec goddess who is said to have given birth to the moon, stars, and the god of the sun and war, whose name I cannot pronounce, no matter how hard I fucking try. There's a bajillion letters and 95% of them are consonants. So I'm not even going to try. But Coatlicue, her name, means skirt of snakes because she's said to be wearing a skirt made of snakes.
Oh, okay.
And then also a necklace made of human hearts, hands, and skulls.
Okay.
And she has claws on her feet and her hands.
What?
And her face is made of two snakes facing each other. You want to know why?
You know, it just kept getting weirder as you went on. But why?
Yeah, it only gets worse. The snakes that are her, that represent her face, or that make up her face, represent blood spurting from her neck after she was decapitated.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, it's a really beautiful story. So if you want to know more about Coatlicue's very interesting story, you should Google it because goddamn was it fucking intense. I kept reading and I was like, I cannot include all of this. This is insane. Oh so yeah, but I do want to just point out that they, first of all, told these people of Yerba Buena that they were prophets of the Inca gods. The Inca lived in Peru, and now they're bringing forth this Aztec goddess. Can y'all get your fucking story straight? Hello?
Hello.
What? Can you do, like, anything correct? Do some research. Read a book. Goddamn.
Read a book.
Oh, shit. All right. So back to Magdalena and the Hernandez brothers. It was not very long after being introduced as the Aztec, I put Inca, as the Aztec goddess Coatlicue, that Magdalena let everything get to her head. I just want to like put this into perspective. They bring Magdalena in and they're like, oh, look, this is Coatlicue. Like, she's a goddess. And then everybody like treats her as such. So everybody in this cult is literally worshiping the ground she walks on and doing every single thing she says.
Right.
Yeah, babe, that's gonna get to your head.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that the listeners could see me talking with my hands because I'm sure it's comical. Anyways, Magdalena let all that get to her head. She eventually believed the lies that she was feeding the villagers. She developed something called theological psychosis that had her experiencing religious delusions of grandeur. Basically, she's fucking hallucinating and she believes all of her lies. She's lied so much that she believes them.
Oh, okay.
And she thinks that she's like seeing God and Jesus and, well, not Jesus, but like gods and speaking to whatever. And she believes that she actually is the reincarnation of this goddess. As a result of all this, she developed some unique paraphilias. Such as drinking human blood. Uh-huh. That's not all. I'm so sorry. Trigger warning here. She also became interested in sadomasochism and, I'm so sorry, pedophilia.
Okay, I know that second one. What's that first one you said there?
Sadomasochism?
Mm-hmm.
So sadomasochism. So you can either be a sadist or a masochist, and I can't remember which one it is. Which one deals with hurting others, like deriving pleasure from hurting others, and the other is deriving pleasure from other people hurting you.
Ooh, 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 to both of them. Okay, no.
Yes. No. So. A masochist is a person who derives sexual gratification from their own pain or humiliation. So then a sadist is someone who, like a serial killer, like I'm trying to think of a process killer here who likes to torture. The toy box killer, David Parker Ray. Anyways, so a sadist is someone who enjoys hurting others, but she enjoyed both. Which is what a sadomasochist is. They enjoy hurting others and also being hurt and humiliated themselves. Mm. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
That's not all the messed up shit. I'm so sorry. So even after Magdalena made her appearance as Coatlicue, the followers of the cult were still confused and impatient. Again, the Hernandez brothers made them promises of wealth and fortune, and like good shit is happening to them. You know what I mean? Like the gods are going to pay you for worshiping them. Like they're going to reward you. But this was not happening. They were not following through on the promises that they made. So two members decided that they were sick of being sexually abused and exploited every second of their fucking lives, and they wanted to leave. Well, they made the mistake of telling other people in the group, who then went and told Magdalena and the Hernandezes. And Magdalena insisted that the defectors needed to be sacrificed. So the other members lynched the two defectors.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So given her first metaphorical taste of blood, because I'm sure she has already had a literal taste of blood by this point, Magdalena's brutality skyrocketed. Now, she was bored with just the regular orgies they were hosting.
Of course.
Those fucking orgies. They just get so boring after a while, God. Fucking noobs. So now she wanted something a little more dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm in danger.
That's going to say that too.
So she demanded more human sacrifices.
Demanded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally. She came up with some sort of blood ritual.
No.
Uh-huh. And had one specific victim in mind.
Yeah.
A member of the cult who had always been skeptical, if not a little argumentative.
Of course, we got to get rid of, you know, that
one. Any dissenters, they're like, get out, dead.
Shun the non-believers.
Exactly. But again, Magdalena wouldn't do the dirty work herself. So the rest of the members of the cult brutally beat, burned, cut, and mutilated this person.
Oh my gosh.
And then they were left to bleed out. And this... here, paragraph gets a trigger warning for gore and general yuckiness. So I'll give you a sec to skedaddle, skip a couple seconds. All right. So after the victim, I'm so sorry. So after the victim was drained, their blood was put in a chalice and mixed with chicken blood and drugs. And then Magdalena took a drink. Passed it to the Hernandez brothers, who then took a drink. And then the rest of the cult was forced to drink from the chalice. The blood. It was blood.
No.
Yeah. Magdalena claimed that this blood mixture would give everyone supernatural powers. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's chicken blood, mind you. It's chicken blood and drugs. So, yeah, you're going to have some sort of... supernatural something. Fucking when the ritual was over, the victim's heart was ripped out of their body.
For why? No, I don't want to know.
Nope, you don't probably want to know. I don't want to know either, so I don't know. Ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
So that was rough, and it gets worse, but no. I won't go into... Wait, don't. I won't go into any more details like that, I promise.
Okay.
But it does escalate.
No.
So I already said that they fucked up by saying that they were prophets of the Inca gods, but Coatlicue is an Aztec goddess. Mm-hmm. But they went along with that and told the people of their cult that in Aztec mythology, the only food that gods and goddesses can consume is blood.
Oh my gosh.
So the rituals that I detailed above, they continued.
Oh.
Over the next 6 weeks, 4 people were killed and had their hearts ripped out.
Jesus.
Yeah. So we are nearing the end, and I know this is heavy and dark, and I'm so sorry, but here we go. So in May of 1963, a 14-year-old boy named Sebastian Guerrero ran into a police station in Villa Gran, I'm sorry. Screaming about, quote, a group of murderers seized by ecstasy gathered to drink human blood.
Oh, no.
It turns out that Sebastian had been wandering the Yerba Buena caves and stumbled upon the cult's blood ritual.
No.
Yeah, poor Sebastian. Yeah. Sebastian tried to convince the police to go back with him. But they initially thought that he had just had an overactive imagination or suffered from mental illness because it was the 60s and nobody listens. So regardless, the next morning, a police officer named Luis Martinez took the boy to find what he was talking about. And neither of them were ever seen alive again.
Oh, okay. That's not where I thought you were going to go with that.
Finally understanding that this is an actual fucking danger, the police stepped up and asked the military for assistance.
Yeah.
And on May 31st, 1963, the Yerba Buena village was raided. There was a shootout and many members were killed. Santos Hernandez was killed while he was being arrested because he was resisting. I have no further information on that. I don't know if it was a shooting incident or if it was like George Floyd adjacent. Either way, I don't think it should have happened, but it was the 60s. So not a lot of, resisting arrest policies in that time. And also, I know nothing about Mexican history, so I guess I should just shut up. So anyways, Cayetano K. K. Hernandez had already been murdered by a member of the cult who thought that having a, quote, piece of one of the priests would protect him.
I don't like what you just said.
I have no further information here either.
Okay.
I do not know if K was murdered before the raid or in the midst of the raid so that the cult member would be protected during the raid. I have no further information. There's nothing on this fucking cult. It doesn't even have a name, guys. Like,
it doesn't even have a name.
Yeah, it's been covered by so many podcasts and there were so many articles, but all the articles were just saying the same shit over and over again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So the Solis siblings were found on a farm in the village, high as fuck after smoking weed. They were arrested without incident. I'm sorry. Luis Martinez and Sebastian Guerrero's bodies were found dismembered near the farm where the Solis siblings were found.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
6 more dismembered bodies were found in the caves. Yeah.
I wish you could see my face right now.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Sebastian was right. There was, in fact, a bloodthirsty cult. Oh, well, a bloodthirsty group of murderers in the caves of Yerba Buena. If they had taken him seriously, they could have saved his and Luis Martinez's lives.
Yep.
This final paragraph is going to be extremely anticlimactic. I'm sorry. Magdalena and Eleazar could not be convicted in 6 of the 8 murders because the surviving cult members who were not, you know, shot, refused to implicate them or testify against them. So the 6 like cult members that they killed, they were not convicted of murdering. They were, however, convicted of the murders of Sebastian Guerrero and Luis Martinez. They were sentenced to 50 years imprisonment. The surviving cult members were also charged with murder, but they were given a little bit of leniency due to their, quote, illiteracy and impoverished circumstances. The remaining members were sentenced to 30 years in prison. So I, like, generally agree with this because, yes, they were, like, Magdalena made them commit the murders, like, do the shit. But at the same time, they probably were being told a lot of things. Like, they were just being lied to. Like, obviously, they were being lied to. So they probably believed it. They were, like, in this state of, I don't want to call it psychosis, but, like, brainwashing. I mean, we see this type of shit with cults all the time. Like, or think back to Patty Hearst, how, like, when she was abducted, she, like, was this good girl. She was in, like, Ivy League college, whatever. And then she gets abducted, and now she's robbing banks. Right. Like, under these dire circumstances, people do tend to do some fucked up shit. Like,
right.
They're probably pressured. So I do generally agree with the Solis's having a much harsher sentence than the members of the cult. Plus, there's no way to prove, like, which specific members actually committed the murders. Like, I'm sure they were all involved in one way or another, but there's no way to know. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. No one knows what happened to the Solis's to this day. They were sentenced to 50 years, arrested in, like, 1963. So that puts her sentence being over in 2013. They believe she was born in 1947, so Magdalena would be about 76 or 77 today. So she could very well be walking free by now, or maybe she died in prison. Who knows?
Hmm.
But yeah, that's Magdalena Solis and her cult with no name. So, sorry. Am I going to finish every fucking episode with sorry?
Probably. We're going to count it.
Probably going to fucking have to. We're going to have to go back. I can't remember if I, because Nexium wasn't, I mean, Nexium was really fucked up, but it wasn't like murdery, drinking blood, ripping hearts out, dark. And like Synanon was dark, but not like this. So, but the last like 2 or 3 episodes, I've just left you with sorry.
So sorry.
Are you okay?
No. I'm going to think about this priest that's on the loose. On the loose? On the loose?
Possibly. Yeah. Allegedly, well, I mean.
We don't know. Or maybe. Hear me out. What if? Like, what if she's still. What if Granny's still alive and she's kicking it in jail because, like, what if she just never got out? Because, like, what if she just continued to be bad?
Yeah, you're probably right. Honestly, like, if her. What did they call it? Theological psychosis continued after her arrest, then there's no fucking way she made it out of prison because those motherfuckers in prison are gonna beat her to death.
Oh.
For being like, worship me, I'm the goddess Coatlicue. Worship me. You know what I mean? Like, if that continued, she definitely got her ass beat. Oh, shit. Oh, I hope she's not walking free, or if she is, I hope she's like turned it around and become like this good person, but you know, doubt it. So sorry.
Anyway,
yeah, so that's the cult with no name. I never want to go back here.
Name it the cult with no name.
Episode title, the cult with no name. Episode, what is this episode? Is this already episode 9? No, this is episode 7. I'm dumb. Episode 7, the cult with no name. Oh, no, we'll call it the actual one. It'll be fine. Or we'll call it by her name. But yeah, so that's all I have for you.
Wow. Thanks, I guess, for telling me that nightmare.
Yeah, you're welcome. Do you understand now why it has stuck with me?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. It's a lot. All right, I'm going to go do my adult responsibilities now, even though I fucking hate it. Someone come do my dishes for me. And make supper for me. I don't want to. I just want to play Minecraft. Okay, we'll see you guys next week, listeners. Bye.
Bye forever.
Thank you for listening to Mysterious-ish. All episodes are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast directory. Follow us on social media at Mysterious-ish Pod. If you have topic suggestions, questions, or stories to share, you can email us at mysteriousishpod@gmail.com or visit our website at mysteriousishpod.com. Make sure to come back next week for another discussion about the mysteries of the universe.